One of the important things that artists need to do is to update themselves. And by the time this song came out, Michael Jackson had been around for a long, long time. He'd been in our lives and he'd been part of pop culture in America for a long time. And when Thriller came out, when I first saw this song, the music, the dancing, it was different. And Michael Jackson had totally updated himself, which is really a key thing for any artist, anybody in the public spotlight to do. It's just so sad that today we remember the day in 2009 when, at the age of 50, Michael Jackson was found dead in his bed. And he gave himself self-administered dose of propofol, which is a medicine used. Generally, it's a medicine used that if you're going to have a procedure like a colonoscopy, they use propofol. And this doctor was giving him this, and he ended up charged with involuntary manslaughter in 2010. And it's not supposed to be given at anybody's home in a situation like that, only like under hospital conditions. But Michael was getting it at home, and Dr. Conrad Murray paid the price for that. And it just goes to show you that, you know, often celebrities get stuff that's not good for them, and they get it because they are celebrities. And I guess this one time Michael Jackson decided to administer himself the dose of propofol, and I guess he gave himself a little too much, and we assume that that was an accident, but that's apparently what killed him at the age of 50. But I will never forget seeing that video on MTV for the first time and thinking, wow, I mean, Michael Jackson has really updated himself. And, you know, some artists, they fade away because they don't change. They don't update themselves. And audiences, you know, they lock on to the way a performer is, and then the audience moves on. Well, if the artist doesn't move on with the audience, then they're lost. Sometimes there are artists who can just maintain the nostalgia factor with their fans, but you know it is important if you want to be continue to be relevant that you change and you update yourself, because the audience is going to change. And I just remember how much Michael Jackson had changed when Thriller came out and when I first saw that video on MTV. All right, it's Tuesday afternoon. I'm Scoot on the Air. Really glad you are with us. Morgan Wallen, you know, he's been involved in controversy because he used the N-word. He had something thrown at him at a concert. It hit him in the face. And this is something that's not new. You know, we've kind of seen people throwing things from the audience. Somebody threw a cell phone at somebody within the last year, hit him in the face, and other things have been thrown at artists. Morgan Wallen was hit in the face with a pair of underwear. He was on tour, a tour stop in Denver, and he was on stage, and yeah, he got hit in the face with underwear. I wonder if the underwear, well, probably not, shouldn't even talk about that. Anyway, that was interesting. And you know, it's kind of reminiscent of Tom Jones was, and I've talked about this. In fact, we were talking yesterday about the Municipal Auditorium and concerts we've seen. Tom Jones was a concert I saw at the auditorium, and I got hit in the back of the head with somebody's bra. Because, you know, ladies were throwing their panties and their bras at Tom Jones, and this one didn't make the stage, and it hit the back of my head. All right, so a lot to talk about. We've talked about President Trump, former President Trump, talking about, well, he was here last night, and then talking about Biden is trying to target and arrest Christians and Catholics. There's a blog about that on our website, WWL.com. It's also on the SOTA Facebook page, and I'm going to share some of those comments with you. And look, regardless of how you feel about politics, there's always something to comment on SOTA Facebook, and if you haven't joined me there, I hope you will. And I love it when people comment on the comments. Also, the U.S. Surgeon General declares gun violence a public health crisis in America. I believe that. And if you have kids and guns, I hope you keep both of them safe. And most gun owners are responsible, and they do keep their guns and kids very safe. They teach their kids about gun safety. So the ones that you see in the news, just like with every other group, the irresponsible gun owners that you see in the news do not reflect gun owners in America. All right, so the debate is coming up on Thursday. Tomorrow's Wednesday. The debate is the next day. We'll be talking about it Thursday, about what to expect, and then we'll talk about it on Free for All Friday. I mean, I think it's going to be a fun show talking about the debate. I don't expect this debate to change anybody's mind. I think everybody's pretty much made up their minds. I can't imagine somebody thinking, you know, I was going to vote for Biden, but man, when I saw him in the debate, I can't do it. Or I was going to vote for Trump, and well, the way he acted, or he didn't answer this question, so I decided I'm going to vote for Biden. I think people, like with a football game, they're not going to decide who they want to win halfway through. They've already decided at the beginning of the game who they want to win. And unlike football, where there's a definite score, most people are going to find a way to declare that their person, the one they support, Trump or Biden, won the debate, regardless of what happened. But it will be interesting to see what some of the analysis is. And I encourage you to do this. We'll talk more about this Thursday on the show. I encourage you to maybe even take notes. And don't wait until after you hear all of the pundits talk. You know, you might go to Fox News right after. If you're a Trump supporter, you go to Fox News right after, and you're going to hear everything they have to say. And then you're going to form an opinion. Why don't you try to form your opinion before you hear the pundits speak? If you're for Biden, you know, don't go to CNN or MSNBC to figure out what to say. Make notes and decide for yourself how you feel about the debate and see whether or not it's reinforced. The judgment of a debate is subjective. So, you know, it's really up to you how you feel about it. All right. So Democrats are now blaming Donald Trump for stripping a woman's reproductive rights and for worsening health outcomes for mothers across America.
Vice President Harris says the health care crisis is Trump's fault.
As many of you know, I'm a former prosecutor, so let's just look at the facts, shall we?
Harris says Trump handpicked three high court justices with one aim.
He intended for them to overturn Roe v. Wade.
And they did.
It was premeditated.
Followed by extremist state legislators passing abortion bans.
He had accomplices.
With the ex-president cheering them on.
Trump has not denied, much less shown remorse for his actions.
And instead proudly takes credit for overturning Roe.
In the case of the stealing of reproductive freedom from the women of America, Donald Trump is guilty.
Sagar Magani, Washington.
All right, bad news for President Biden. Federal judges in Kansas and Missouri have blocked parts of his student loan repayment plan.
The judge's rulings say that the U.S. Department of Education cannot help borrowers ease their loan repayment burdens going forward under a rule set to go into effect July 1st. In Kansas, the judge still allowed parts of the program that allows students who borrowed $12,000 or less to have the rest of their loans forgiven if they make 10 years worth of payments. The Missouri judge's order applies to different parts of the program. To issue a temporary order, each judge had to conclude that the states were likely to prevail at trial. These decisions, however, do not cancel assistance already provided to borrowers. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
You know, President Biden is doing what every president does. Every president did this. They wait until the last minute to do things that they could have done a long time ago. The student loan thing, the things that Biden is talking about now. These are things that could have been done a year or two ago. The executive order on the border, this could have been done a long time ago. All of this could have been done a long time ago. Why is Biden doing it now? Because the election's coming up. And before the debate, he wants to be able to say that he's done these things. If I were Trump, I would ask him, why didn't you do this before? I'm sure he's going to have an answer for that. And I know sometimes he needs the help of Republicans and Congress to do certain things. But make no mistake about it. This is politics at play here. And Biden is doing this because Americans have a very short memory. We don't remember what they did in the first part of their term. We collectively, as a group, American voters, remember what they do in the final months before the election. And isn't that sad? Isn't it sad that we don't have the power to remember what they do and to hold them accountable for what they do or don't do during their entire term? But no, it's what happens in the last part of the term. And this is really the fault of voters. Yeah, you and I are responsible for this. Maybe not you or me specifically, but as voters, we're responsible. And so they know they can do stuff at the last minute and get our attention and get our votes. All right, look at what they're doing now. Why didn't you do it before? You know, a lot of people might have had improved lives had some of these things been done, some of the things that Joe Biden is doing now. A lot of people may have had improved lives if they were done a while back. But also, make no mistake about it, every president does this. And it's sad, but it's because the American voters have a very short memory span. And they remember mostly what's just done at the very end. All right, let's go to Ian and check in with some of your text messages.
James in Harvey is listening today, and he says about the debate, I think Biden should comply with Trump's request to be drug tested if Trump promises to also release his college transcripts and if he can get his wife to show up at the debate.
Well, I don't care about his wife showing up. I mean, to me, that's a private thing. I know she's the first lady of the country if he becomes president. I understand that. But I don't, you know, I don't care about their personal relationship. His transcripts, we're all curious, but I don't know. Are we really that curious? I mean, are we really that curious about Trump and his college record? I mean, are we really curious because we're really not sure if he was a great student, like a straight A student or maybe like a C student? I think we pretty much know about that.
Here's a text that says, hey, most people are just watching the debate. They're looking for the other guy to stumble or fumble or get a I gotcha moment.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking for that, too. And I don't think it's going to change many minds, but I think people are looking for the moment. You know, it's kind of like watching NASCAR. You know, you it's not like you want a wreck, but you never know if there's going to be a wreck. And you just don't know what's going to happen. And I think that's the way a lot of people are going to view the debate.
Here's a text that says, I never thought I'd see the day when a convicted felon is making demands of the president of the United States.
Wow. There are so many people who do not respect the office of the presidency. And going back to Bill Clinton, there are things that people do, that presidents do, that make us lose respect for the office of the presidency. And, you know, we really have reached this point where, I mean, technically there's a convicted felon who, yes, is ordering the president of the United States to do certain things to prove that he's worthy of being president. And so, are they going to give Joe Biden something to make him better for the debate? Did they give him something before the State of the Union address? It sure looked like it was a different Joe, so maybe they are going to give him something. I don't know.
I'll leave you with this one. Funny, the media cared so much about why Hillary Clinton didn't leave Bill, but none of them asked Melania why she didn't leave Trump.
I did.
Yeah?
Yeah, I mean, we talked about how this was when this was relevant. I mean, she hasn't really been in the news recently, but my God, I would have left him. I don't think I would have stuck around. But, you know, everybody's got their personal deal. I mean, there are people who stay married for the kids. There are people who stay married because of the financial situation. There are people who hate the life that they're living. They hate it. But they stick around because of the money or because of the kids or whatever. I mean, I think the kids are more worthy than the money. But, you know, there may be women who are miserable in their life, but they don't want to give up the money. So, yeah, I mean, that's a factor. Hillary was really part of the presidency. And Bill even said leading up to winning the election, he said, you know, you get two for one. You get me and Hillary. So she was almost seen as a co-president from the very, very beginning by Bill's own announcement. So Melania has been more in the background, and I respect that she can be more in the background. All right, if you've got a comment, you want to join us this afternoon, the Okunar Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. I'm Scoot, and we will be back with more. This is WWL. You know, this is something that really does define America. I mean, there's so many people who are angry. And getting involved in any kind of political discourse today carries with it, in most cases, the element of anger. I mean, people are just mad. They're angry. They're angry that anybody would question Trump. They're angry that Trump is a convicted felon and he's running for president. They're angry about Joe Biden, and everything that Joe Biden does is wrong or bad. Not everything Biden is doing or has done is bad or wrong. And people want to say, well, what has he done that's good? I mean, look, there are positive things that happened when Trump was president. There are positive things that happened when Biden was president. But it seems like satisfying anger is a really big thing today. And people feel like if they have a grievance, they're able to get attention. They're able to get attention because they're a victim. They're angry because they're a victim, because something has either been taken away from them or they don't get what they want. And not everybody gets what they want. And in not getting what you want, that also means that the candidate that you support might not win. There's going to be a large group of people after the election in November, and they're not going to be happy because their candidate did not win. If Trump wins, a lot of people are going to be mad. If Trump loses, a lot of people are going to be mad. But this is no different from the past. And if Trump loses, it doesn't mean that the election was fixed. And I guarantee you, if Trump loses, we're going to still hear the same boring, bogus BS that he really won. But there's no facts. There's no evidence to back it up. But we know he really won. I mean, there are people who actually think that Trump is still president. Seriously. So, I mean, this is where we are. But there's power in victimization. And as we've said on the show, it's interesting because conservatives have traditionally been strong. And liberals have traditionally claimed victimhood more than Republicans. And this is just a general observation from my perspective through life. Republicans were the ones who were strong and stood up and they were accountable. And now Republicans are the ones, and Trump supporters in particular, are the ones that are claiming to be victims. Donald Trump is now making, and by the way, the money that he raised here in New Orleans last night, the money that he's raising, a lot of that money is going to pay his legal bills. And I'm sure a lot of people who give that much money to Donald Trump are okay with that because they believe that the trial was a hoax or whatever, and they want to support him in that way. So I don't think a lot of Trump supporters care where the money goes. But Donald Trump is now raising money on the idea that he was tortured in Fulton County, at the Fulton County Jail in Georgia last year. He's now turned this into a fundraiser. Remember the mugshot that they took? Well, he's using that to raise funds. He says, I want you to remember what they did to me. They tortured me in the Fulton County Jail. They took my mugshot. So guess what? I put a mug for the whole world to see. And that was what the fundraising email said. Trump is still facing 13 charges in his efforts to overturn the 2020 election. He knew he lost, and he was trying to manipulate people that would help him actually physically overturn the results of the election. Trump has also had a lot of merchandise, mugshots on T-shirts and koozies and bumper stickers and a lot more, but he claims he was tortured. He says, I want you to remember what they did to me. They tortured me. They took my mugshot. I've never had a mugshot taken, but I don't think the process could be described as torture. And his claims of torture cannot be backed up by any facts. Donald Trump spent only 20 minutes at the Fulton County Jail. In the 20 minutes, he was booked, photographed, and fingerprinted. It took 20 minutes, and he was out of there. If it would have been Logo Express, they probably would have done it in 15 minutes. Anyway, I just think this is ridiculous. He got tortured. They took a mugshot of him, and he was tortured. So what does that mean? I mean, do you believe that? Do you believe he was tortured? But again, you know, we're going back to victimhood. Victimhood. Victimization. We're going back to the idea that that Donald Trump and a lot of Republicans have become the snowflakes that they always thought Democrats and liberals were. By saying things about, oh my God, I can't believe they're treating us this way. Oh my God, I can't believe that they would question anything that we would say. So it's, you know, it's kind of fascinating. Before we get to calls, let's do a couple of emails. Oh, I'm sorry, a text. Well, wait a minute, Ian's on the phone, so we'll get to that in just a moment.
Yeah, no, I got some for you.
But the very idea that Trump was tortured, and he says what they did to him. I was tortured. They took my mugshot. I mean, were they whipping him while he was getting the mugshot taken? I don't think we should just throw around the word torture. But yet, there are Americans who are empathizing with Donald Trump because they believe that he was tortured. But there's no evidence that he was actually tortured. All right, let's do a couple of texts.
Here's a text that says, I quit listening to the debates. The responses are always boilerplate rhetoric that often ignore the question asked. And the direct exchanges between the candidates, it's just red meat for the velociraptors on both sides. It's old and predictable, but you guys have to listen to do your jobs. My condolences.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, we take one for the team when we do this, and we'll come back and tell you what we thought of the debate. But you're right. They ask a question, and the candidates end up saying some campaign point that they want to bring up that wasn't even part of the question. That is frustrating.
Here's a text that says, wait a minute. There's a text that says there are people who still think Obama is president.
Really?
I haven't heard that.
I hadn't heard that either.
Oh, but it's not that. It's possible. It's not impossible that people would think that. It's the same people that think, oh, you know, like JFK is coming back from the dead to meet us in Dallas or whatever. People think Obama is still secretly puppeteering the Joe Biden administration.
It's the QAnons.
Yeah, I think it's the same people. Yep,
you're right.
Okay, here's a text about the Ten Commandments in our schools. This text says, hey, I just read Landry's rant on NOLA.com regarding his defense of the Ten Commandments law. This is not the Louisiana I moved to in 1995 from L.A. I'm 70, and I'm readying my home in the quarter for sale and moving on.
It's so sad. But look what we're doing. People like Jeff Landry are chasing people out of here because it's inane. The Ten Commandments, demanding the Ten Commandments be placed in the classroom is inane based on the Supreme Court ruling. I understand, and I respect people who want to challenge things. I get that. But I would like to think that this politically right-leaning Supreme Court is actually going to pay attention to the fundamental meaning of the Constitution and rule that placing the Ten Commandments in the classroom is indeed against the Constitution.
Here's one that says, hey, Scoot, Trump is living in your head rent-free. Geez, you talk about him 90% of the time.
Now, well, look, we're in an election year, and Trump is the candidate, and Trump is putting himself in the news, and we talk about the news. But trust me, I don't think about Trump when I leave the station. I think about Trump when I'm preparing for the show, if we have to talk about him that day, and I think about Trump when we're on the air. But I'm having fun with it. I mean, Trump is not bringing me down in any aspect of my life whatsoever.
When people say stuff like this to you, I wonder if they're if they've got enough like kind of room up there to realize the show is about politics.
Yeah.
And it's an election year and we got the first debate coming up. We have our candidates. Trump is, by any measure, the center of the political universe. It's like the Saints are playing the Colts tomorrow in the Super Bowl and you're upset that we're talking about Drew Brees. You know, it's just, like, what are you doing? And I got to guess that some of these people that are always, oh, you're talking about Trump all the time. If hearing the truth about Trump makes you feel itchy because you voted for him and you support him and you're not allowed in your home or your workplace or your church to say anything against him, but you hear us speaking the truth and it makes you feel itchy. That is not our problem, brothers and sisters. It's like when somebody is conning you and your friend says to you, hey, man, you're being conned. Most people don't get angry at the person who's conning them. They get angry at the person who revealed the con to them.
That is exactly right. And I've talked often about how people don't like what they hear. They know it's true, but they don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
And since this show is an alternative to the shows that never touch on these things, we just think it's important to get the information out there. And if we can be a little different by talking about the truth, like, it's like somebody doesn't want to hear that Trump would say something so stupid like, I was tortured. They took my mugshot. That's not being tortured. And they know that, but they don't want to hear it. So they blame the messenger for talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not right, because we talk about the news. But, you know, this idea that somehow I lead a less than happy life because of Donald Trump, do not be mistaken. I lead a very happy life, and I'm very satisfied with the life that I lead. And I have a great life, and Trump is not living in my head. I use Trump to do the show. I use politics to do the show. And Trump puts himself in the news. And if we didn't talk about Trump, there would be criticism that we're not talking about Trump. Well, why aren't you talking about Trump? So I clearly understand that it's part of this business.
One more thing, yeah. And then we'll get to it. If Trump were the president right now and were putting policies in place, some of which, you know, maybe you and I wouldn't like, some of which you and I would be fine with, some would be neutral about, some would be helpful to the American people, some would be harmful, maybe, maybe not. We do not have the opportunity to do that right now because he's the candidate and not the president. And the kind of candidate that he is on paper is a disaster.
Well, when has Trump talked about policy? When do either of these guys really talk about policy? I mean, that's the sad part of all of this for the voters. They're not talking much about policy. And Donald Trump makes his personality the key part of the campaign. Like me, like what I stand for, like what I am. Where's the policy?
Mm-hmm.
Where all the things where's all the talk about the stuff that Trump's going to actually do if he wins? So again, all we do, what we do is simple. We cover the news and we cover what's in the news. And everybody else is talking about the same things we're talking about. We just may be bringing up things that make some people uncomfortable. But again, the show is an alternative to those who refuse to talk about these things because they don't want to do anything that makes Trump look bad. All right, on the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar on this day in 2020, the Dixie Chicks officially changed their name to the Chicks in support of the Black Lives Matter movement. The whole idea that Dixie is associated with the American South during a time of slavery, they changed their name. And also, Lady Antebellum changed their name to Lady A. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. All right, this is Jackie Wilson on this day in 1966 on the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar. Jackie Wilson was arrested for inciting a riot. He refused to obey a police order at a nightclub in Port Arthur, Texas. The police were ordering him to calm the crowd down, and Wilson had the crowd between 200 and 400 just into this worked into this frenzy, and he refused to stop singing when they requested him to stop. So he didn't listen to the police. He was convicted of drunkenness and fined $30. I mean, look, even in 1966, $30 wasn't that much money for causing a lot of trouble. And I often hear about these artists who get arrested for doing something crazy on stage, and, you know, they're never really actually held accountable. All right, I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you are with us. We're going to get to some of your comments from the SOTA Facebook page here very shortly. Let's go to Richard in New Orleans. Hey, Richard.
Hey, Scoot. Thanks for having me on. if you don't mind, can I do a little something here talking about the economy? And we're talking about Agent Orange, Donna Kine, and Uncle Joe, Doc Brandon, what they have done and what they did. And people got a misconception about the banana Republicans, the GOP, the government of Putin. They think that they got all the rights to religion and rights to economy. Let's go down memory lane for a second, if you don't mind. Agent Ernie Donna Kine was the president. The pandemic hit. 400,000 people, maybe half a million people died. He wasn't doing nothing to try to help save, get things started. The Democrats come along under Nancy Pelosi. Let's give the people $2,000 to stay home. Let's do bipartisan. The Republicans, no. Let's do 12. Let's do 8. No. So the Democrats decided to do it alone, and they did it alone with all Democrat passage of the American Rescue Plan, the unemployment benefit, the EBT credit, the child tax credit. Okay, so then it went to the Senate, and all the Democrats under Schumer voted for it. So now it became a bill passed by only the Democrats, and it got to Agent Orange's desk. Three things can happen with that bill at that time. Let it sit there for 14 days, automatically become a bill. Veto it or sign it. Hocus pocus, I'm going to sign it. Let everybody see. Your whole party voted against it. Remember that now. And you're talking about the economy. You're talking about caring for people. You're talking about empathy. And people are dying and people are sick. People also lost Medicare. But also, too, remember this. 2019, and I want y'all to go fact check me, please. Because I'm not an expert on that, but I know a little about a lot of things. 2019, we was actually in a recession. People don't want to recognize that. So all this stuff we're talking about under Biden, we're going to be under a recession. Biden came in and handled a pandemic, got the PPP and all that stuff. The doctors, the nurses, the hospitals got all, was able to get their supply chain active again. So all this talk about the convicted criminal. Now, he's like me now. I'm not like him because he got a little money. He got more money than me. He like me. He's a convicted felon. And we gonna let a convicted felon be a president? Man, come on, man! Something wrong with our constitution? I understand the constitution, so you can go.
As a convicted felon, Rashard, you wouldn't want people to forgive you and say, "Yeah, Rashard can run for president if he wants to."
Come on, school. We talking about Agent Orange, Donna Kine, somebody that got Project 2025. When you know what a person's agenda is, then everything changes. That criminal, yeah, everybody needs a second chance. You understand? I'm struggling to get a second chance, but I got my chance.
Good.
You understand? And I took advantage of my chance. I'm a homeowner. You know what I'm saying?
Good.
I'm married. Just celebrated 24 years of marriage, man. Been with my wife 27 years.
That's awesome.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, a lot of things done good. And I talk the way I talk because I got passion. I've been here. I've been in the trenches. I'm 60 years old. I love y'all people. When I come and talk, I'm not talking for me. And I want y'all to understand something else. Voting is not for you and me. Voting is for your children, your grandchildren, and generations to come. They come from I can go on and on, school, and I really do got a segment thing that I do really want to do from the Civil War up until George Floyd. Right. Any progress that the blacks have made, you know how it goes. They want to come around, the extremists want to come around and they want to stop it.
I kind of have to get to a break here, Rashard. You know, it's always lively when Rashard calls, and you know, sometimes we have to call him out because he kind of goes off on ideas where he's speaking for all black listeners and all black Americans, and that's not the case. But that was more of the more civil conversation we had. It just goes to show you we give people an extra shot here. All right, we've got the text off coming up. On the SOTA rock culture calendar, on this day in 1957, the Egyptian government announced rock and roll was banned in public. Because the Egyptian government in 1957 saw rock and roll as an imperialist plot. You know, and there were even parts of America where different cities and states would actually talk about banning rock and roll. But yeah, this is the day the Egyptian government banned it as an imperialist plot. And yeah, they were right about that. All right, I'm Scoot. It's Tuesday. The text off is coming up next on WWL. All right, this is Jackie Wilson on this day in 1966 on the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar. Jackie Wilson was arrested for inciting a riot. He refused to obey a police order at a nightclub in Port Arthur, Texas. The police were ordering him to calm the crowd down, and Wilson had the crowd between 2 and 400 just into this, worked into this frenzy, and they refused to. He refused to stop singing when they requested him to stop. So he didn't listen to the police. He was convicted of drunkenness and fined $30. I mean, look, even in 1966, $30 wasn't that much money for causing a lot of trouble. And I often hear about these artists who get arrested for doing something crazy on stage, and, you know, they're never really actually held accountable. All right, I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you are with us. We're going to get to some of your comments from the SOTA Facebook page here very shortly. Let's go to Richard in New Orleans. Hey, Richard.
Hey, Scoot. Thanks for having me on. If you don't mind, can I do a little something here talking about the economy? And we're talking about Agent Orange, Donna Kine, and Uncle Joe, Doc Brandon, what they have done and what they did. And people got a misconception about the banana Republicans, the GOP, the government of Putin. They think that they got all the rights to religion and rights to economy. Let's go down memory lane for a second, if you don't mind. Agent Ernie Donna Kine was the president. The pandemic hit. 400,000 people, maybe half a million people died. He wasn't doing nothing to try to help save, get things started. The Democrats come along under Nancy Pelosi. Let's give the people $2,000 to stay home. Let's do bipartisan. The Republicans, no. Let's do 12. Let's do 8, no. So the Democrats decided to do it alone, and they did it alone with all Democrat passage of the American Rescue Plan, the unemployment benefit, the EBT credit. The child tax credit. Okay, so then it went to the Senate, and all the Democrats under Schumer voted for it. So now it became a bill passed by only the Democrats, and it got to Agent Orange's desk. Three things can happen with that bill at that time. Let it sit there for 14 days, automatically become a bill, veto it, or sign it. Hocus pocus, I'ma sign it, let everybody see. Your whole party voted against it. Remember that now. And you're talking about the economy. You're talking about caring for people. You're talking about empathy. And people are dying. And people are sick. People also lost Medicare. But also, too, remember this. 2019, and I want y'all to go fact check me, please. Because I'm not an expert on that, but I know a little about a lot of things. 2019, we was actually in a recession. People don't want to recognize that. So all this stuff we're talking about under Biden, we're going to be under a recession. Biden came in and handled a pandemic. Got the PPP and all that stuff. The doctors, the nurses, the hospitals got all was able to get their supply chain active again. So all this talk about the convicted criminal. Now, he's like me now. I'm not like him because he got a little money. He got more money than me. He like me. He's a convicted felon. And we going to let a convicted felon be a president? Man, come on, man. Something wrong with our Constitution. I understand the Constitution, so you can go.
As a convicted felon, Richard, you wouldn't want people to forgive you and say, yeah, Richard can run for president if he wants to?
Come on, Scoot. We're talking about Agent Orange, Donna Kine, somebody that got Project 2025. When you know what a person's agenda is, then everything changes. That criminal, yeah, everybody needs a second chance. You understand? I'm struggling to get a second chance, but I got my chance.
Good.
You understand? And I took advantage of my chance. I'm a homeowner. You know what I'm saying?
Good.
I'm married. Just celebrated 24 years of marriage, man. Been with my wife 27 years.
That's awesome.
You know what I'm saying? So, you know, a lot of things done good. And I talk the way I talk because I got passion. I've been there. I've been in the trenches. I'm 60 years old. I love y'all people. When I come and talk, I'm not talking for me. And I want y'all to understand something else. Voting is not for you and me. Voting is for your children, your grandchildren, and generations to come. They come from the – I can go on and on, school, and I really do got a segment thing that I do really want to do from the Civil War up until George Floyd. Right. Any progress that the blacks have made, you know how it goes. They want to come around, the extremists want to come around, and they want to stop it.
I kind of have to get to to a break here, Rashard. It's always lively when Rashard calls, and you know, sometimes we have to call him out because he kind of goes off on ideas where he's speaking for all black listeners and all black Americans, and that's not the case. But that was more of the more civil conversation we had. And it just goes to show you, we give people an extra shot here. All right, we've got the text off coming up. On the SOTA rock culture calendar, on this day in 1957, the Egyptian government announced rock and roll was banned in public. Because the Egyptian government in 1957 saw rock and roll as an imperialist plot. You know, and there were even parts of America where different cities and states would actually talk about banning rock and roll. But yeah, this is the day the Egyptian government banned it as an imperialist plot. And yeah, they were right about that. All right, I'm Scoot. It's Tuesday. The text off is coming up next on WWL.